Inflation is out of control. Gas hit $7 a gallon in certain states. A 10-year-old Honda Civic is going to set you back around 15 to 20 grand. And rent is averaging $2,000 a month. Welcome to 8.6% inflation. And it doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. So what can you do? You can try trading stocks or buying mutual funds, but returns are sinking quickly. You might have heard about gold IRAs, but you don't know much about them. That's why Noble Gold has a team of experts at the other end of the phone. They'll set you straight on what you can and can't do to get yourself to financial safety again. And if you act now, they're giving away an incredible 1/10 ounce American Eagle Gold proof coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with gold or Noble Gold. Call them now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit them at noblegoldinvestments.com.
We cannot consider ourselves a first world nation. We can't think of ourselves as a superpower if we don't control our own energy destiny. Okay, it's simply is not enough just to be a financial superpower.
Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. There are hundreds of so-called experts predicting that Bitcoin will go down to $10,000. But Bitcoin generally seems to do the opposite of what people predict it will do. My digital money is here to give you the facts about the crypto market. And the fact is that every dip is an opportunity. When Bitcoin dipped to $17,000, it was institutional investors and billionaires that bought. And that's why they're billionaires. When you're ready to invest in cryptocurrency, my digital money is here. Whether you want to own a crypto IRA or trade in cash, my digital money is a US-based crypto company that will answer your call. And they're ready to help you every step of the ups and downs. Every dip is an opportunity for gains, and mydigitalmoney.com will be there for you. You can call them at 833-636-2008 or visit them directly at mydigitalmoney.com. I'm delighted to have back on the line the president and CEO of Uranium Energy Corp, Amir Adnani, because nobody knows more than Amir that energy equals life, and there is quite a crisis unfolding in Europe as we speak. Amir, how are you, sir? Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Sean. It's been a while, but this couldn't be a more relevant and important time to talk about energy, freedom, and independence.
Yeah, amen. You're giving me goosebumps right off the bat because I cannot overstate how dire the situation is for people in Germany and other parts of Europe right now. So I want to play a clip in a second, but 2022, how's it treating you? Because it's been the most tumultuous year for stocks and bonds in decades. And I guess my first question is really in regards to precious metals. As we've seen markets tumble, and maybe they're bouncing back a little bit right now, maybe we found a floor in things like Bitcoin and stocks, but has 2022 taught you anything about what Warren Buffett calls a barbarous relic, gold?
2022 has been just an incredibly challenging year, to say the least, year to date. And we got to keep it in perspective. If we're talking about having a challenging year, you and I, at least we're not right in the middle of war and conflict, the way people in Ukraine are and the way Europe seems to be so impacted by what's happening with the conflict that they've had to deal with. Having said that, the reality is that we're seeing rate hikes. And of course, these rate hikes are going to put a bit underneath the US dollar. It always does. But that's a temporary moment in time. And the reality is real rates are negative. I mean, inflation at double digits, rates nominally even where they are, when you subtract one from the other, real rates adjusted for inflation are still negative. How could this not be an incredible window to be acquiring gold on the dip because of the strength in US dollar, which is short-lived? The head of IMF comes out the other day. Not that that matters for much, but given the economic report of the world, and this US dollar strength is bad for the health of the global economy. It's bad for emerging markets. It's bad for those US dollar denominated debt that the emerging markets has. And it's just generally bad for business. And so there's going to be an end in sight for this very soon. And gold will play and will have that final kind of chapter in a story that we've all been waiting for and talking about and writing about for so long, right? Realizing that the game of expanding fiat currency and the monetary base forever and ever and ever was not manageable, and it would ultimately be reflected in the truth mission, which is the price of gold. That's yet to come. The best part of this movie is yet to come, in my opinion. But 2022 so far, I think, only just teaches us that we need to be patient before we get to where gold, I think, will deliver what we expected will deliver in an environment like this.
You know, you just made a really good point that I really hadn't considered. And that's the fact that if we're Americans, those listening who have dollars, we are getting cheaper gold and silver prices because of the strength of the dollar. Now, I should call up some charts, but I'm willing to bet when priced in other currencies like the Japanese yen, whatever they deal with in Turkey, the Argentine peso, I bet gold's at an all-time high, and silver too. Silver's so cheap in dollars right now, it just defies belief.
That's correct.
So we're being subsidized by this fiat dollar to buy gold and silver cheaper. I really hadn't looked at it that way. I keep saying, oh, the bankers are killing the price. They're manipulating the price. A big part of this is the strength of the dollar.
That's exactly it. And look, that's going to continue to be the case for as long as these rate hikes are what the Fed's focused on. But that's going to come to an end at some point. It's not the next 6 months, it'll be the next year. But there's going to be an end to that game. Remember, one of the biggest bull markets we had in gold was in 2016. And what happened in December 2015? The Fed did, at that point, a final rate hike. And then at that point, when it was basically all out, all bullets fired, that's when gold took off in 2016. In that environment, when you know the Fed's basically shot all of its bullets, is when gold, I think, starts to make the move that we're expecting for it to make. And look, the gold price adjusted for everything that's happened in terms of the total new amount of debt that's been created in the world, it should be somewhere north of $3,000 an ounce at a minimum, even today. It's obscene that in US dollar terms here right now for you and I, it's sitting at $1,700. But the reality is in other currencies, it's much higher. And I think in US dollar terms, it will get to those $3,000 plus levels really within the next year or two.
Yeah, I think Goldman Sachs is saying 2,500 by the end of this year. But let me ask you this. You know, I led with this statement, energy equals life. Do you think that's true? I want to cite why I believe that's true in a second, because, you know, the World Economic Forum continues to push United Nations Agenda 2030 policies, stripping us of our affordable forms of energy. Gas, oil, natural gas. But the perfect storm is occurring and people are waking up. People in Germany are waking up. I'll play this soundbite from Squawk Box in a second about how dire the situation is. But do I have that right? Energy equals life? Because without energy, we freeze to death in the north.
Energy equals life, but not only in the winter where you might freeze to death, but also in incredible hot summers as we're experiencing heat waves throughout North America, throughout Europe, places like Japan. And you also could not only freeze to death, but you could also overheat to death as well. And so energy is life. Energy is needed to manage the type of winters and summers that we're experiencing. And we cannot consider ourselves a first world nation. We can't think of ourselves as a superpower if we don't control our own energy destiny. Okay, it simply is not enough just to be a financial superpower. And when you look at how Russia is weaponizing its energy resources, how it's holding Europe hostage with the gas supplies and or the uranium that is being provided to the US, that Senator Manchin was tweeting earlier today, and I replied to him. He tweeted talking about how important energy security was, and without energy security, we are not a superpower. And I replied to him and said, Senator Manchin, how can we call ourselves a superpower if we don't control our own uranium requirements, where we're 100% dependent on foreign imports, including heavily on Russia? And so energy equals life, but energy also includes control of your own destiny. And that is so important to understand, because if we want to drive electric vehicles, if we want to have air conditioning units, if we want to connect on our laptops and record videos and talk to friends and family and loved ones or whatnot, we need electricity. That's energy. And that is the most important source of energy moving forward, is electricity and 24/7 reliable, always there electricity. And you don't think that's important? Look at a modern nation like Japan, that in light of energy shortages they're facing, and then an incredible heat wave on top of that, they have to talk about rationing energy now. They have to cut stuff back in order to make sure they have enough just to get through a season. And then beyond the very hot summer, you got winter coming. What are you going to do then when the gas supplies stop coming or come at a quarter of what they used to do? Europe is seriously looking at rationing going into the winter because there may be no other way. And the war isn't ending anytime soon.
Yeah.
So this is incredibly historic events that your everyday adult hasn't seen this before. When was the last time we had major war and turmoil in the world the way we have right now? And then, you know, you got the war on inflation, you got the war going on with Russia and Ukraine. And you, on top of that, you've got the war on energy. So pick your battle, but you got to be ready to take these issues on, in my opinion.
Do you know what? I think you just gave me the title for this video, The War on Energy, because you're exactly right. It is a war by the Davos elite, by the World Economic Forum, who literally is saying, in the future, you will own nothing and be happy. You won't own anything. You'll rent everything. And now the World Economic Forum and the United Nations is calling for the end of private car ownership, Amir. This is truly a war on energy. And I think it's the perfect storm to wake people up. Let me do this screen share. I think this is very, very important. Americans have no idea how bad it is. It's bad here. I mean, we have inflation, but look how terrible it is in Europe right now. Let me play this.
In Europe, they are seeing natural gas prices, in some cases, $25 or $30 U.S. dollars equivalent. Our natural gas prices, you could see there, we're down a little bit right now. We're at $5.50. So why are we at $5.50 and Europe at $25 or $30, with China, by the way, paying over $30 for liquefied natural gas? Well, it's a result of a couple of things. Number one, they didn't buy a lot of storage during the pandemic. Maybe it's because they underestimated the boom in demand coming out of the pandemic. Maybe they thought the pandemic might go on and lockdowns would go on longer. So they were short on storage already, guys. Now, all of a sudden, you're also seeing a shortage of some of the renewables, the wind power in Italy and in the North Sea, just not producing as much. You had a shortage level because they screwed up and didn't buy enough natural gas. Then you don't have enough power coming in. And all of a sudden, you realize, oh my gosh, are we going to have enough raw materials to power the power plants? We need to start buying.
All right, I'm going to pause it there. That went on a bit long, but electricity prices up 300% in Europe. Amir, I'm coming back to you. It's obvious now that this global energy crisis cannot be resolved with just wind and solar. That's so obvious, and Putin is teaching the EU this lesson, especially Germany. This is a fact. Wind and solar, that's a joke. We need uranium, we need oil, we need natural gas. And by the way, on day one, when the puppet became president, Biden, he killed the XL Keystone pipeline. I mean, that's just madness.
It's irresponsible. And the energy policy in Germany and the planning that they've had over the last 10, 15, 20 years to shift and spend so much incredible amounts of cap, billions of dollars has gone into renewable. And it's got nothing to show for. Wind and solar still have a capacity factor of 25%, 30%. What does that mean? In a 24-hour cycle, if electricity is only available 30% of the time, how do you work with that? How do you call that a modern technology system or healthcare system or education system if you only got access to electricity 6 hours in a 24-hour cycle? That's what 30% capacity factor is. Nuclear power has 95% capacity factor. It's basically 24/7. And so not only has Germany thrown that away, they have become so dependent on Russia that they are now, again, completely a hostage to what Putin and Moscow decide to do. And in this country, if the investments are not made in hydrocarbons, if natural gas is not there, if nuclear power, which is currently responsible for powering one in every five home in America, is powered by nuclear energy, if the ability to maintain the fuel to run these types of energy sources is given up in this country, it's basically Europe part two in terms of, again, becoming a hostage to the energy dominance that Russia has built for itself. And it's got to be taken on and it's got to be addressed. And the thing that blows my mind is that you have a technology so proven in nuclear energy, proven to be reliable, large scale, 24/7. Every country is supporting it right now. China wants to build 150 new reactors over the next 15 years. The UK is talking about building reactors. Even in this country, we're talking about building small modular reactors because people understand how powerful it is to have a source of energy generation that's emission-free, that sits on your own soil, takes a very amount of little fuel, and can still generate so much power and do it around the clock, 24/7. That's called baseload power. And with all those positive attributes, as amazing as it sounds, despite the fact that one in every five homes in America is powered by nuclear energy, we're not mining any uranium in this country. US's dependence on foreign uranium, on Russian uranium, is worse than Germany and the EU's dependence on Russian gas. Think about that. And think about what happens when Russia might do a retaliatory sanction and say, I'm not going to ship any more uranium to you. Think about what happens when this incredible dependence is used against us as leverage by Putin and this Kremlin. And that's something that I'm here to talk to you about and to raise awareness about. I mean, I just find it incredible that with everything going on around energy issues right now, this topic is not getting more airtime. Because again, as I said, the US dependence on foreign uranium, I think, presents a much greater danger to the US than the European dependence on Russian energy sources.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Well, wouldn't you know it, the CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now, and you'll be safe. And if you act now, they're giving away an incredible 1/10 ounce American Eagle Gold proof coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with gold or Noble Gold. Call them now at 877-646-5347 to find out more, or visit them at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's interesting, and people don't think of that. People don't understand where uranium comes from. And by the way, guys, as we're having the conversation here on Friday, today, a big day for the stock. UEC is up 6.5%. It's up 78% on the year. Let me ask you this. How is Uranium Energy Corp in the driver's seat to dominate U.S. uranium production? Most people don't know where uranium comes from and are surprised to hear you say most of our uranium comes from Russia. So,
yeah, so here's a... here's two words for you. Uranium One. Your listeners may have heard of this company before. Uranium One. Uranium One was owned by the Russian government. And for the last 12 years, owned, acquired, developed, even mined uranium on U.S. soil, along with other parts of the world, in Kazakhstan and Russia, etc. Somehow, 12 years ago, this company was authorized and allowed and got the permits to buy U.S. uranium assets. Now, by comparison, a U.S. company could never go and buy uranium assets in Russia. But this Russian government-controlled entity acquired these assets in the U.S., the biggest and best uranium deposits you can find in the U.S., and kept them private and controlled them, shut them off, and laid a lot of people off. Wasn't exactly a positive outcome. Last year, fortunately, after much political pressure, they finally decided to sell Uranium One And my company, Uranium Energy Corp, after 18 years of being in the business as a U.S. company, a Texas-based company with Texas assets, we looked at it and said, you know what? We could really use a second leg to our production story in the U.S., Texas and Wyoming. And let's repatriate these assets from the Russians. Let's step up and let's make a big deal. And we did. And we made a big investment. Last December, we acquired December 2021 for $112 million cash. We acquired Uranium One from the Russian government 30 days before their invasion of Ukraine. So it was just incredibly good timing to have gotten that deal done. Thank God we got it done. And to bring those assets back into the hands of a U.S. company. Not only was it an incredible transaction for our shareholders, we're a public company listed on the New York Stock Exchange. It was a business that, from a business point of view, it allowed us to double the size of our business, but at a cost that was equal to only 12% dilution. So it was a very accretive deal. But it also restored energy independence in America as it pertains to uranium. It brought increased sense of national security because now these large uranium deposits, an entire uranium processing plant that was part of the business, was all restored into the possession of a U.S. company as opposed to the Russian government. And of course, yeah, year to date, you've seen great share price performance because the market recognized how critical this deal was for American energy security and for the shareholders of UEC. And if you believe in the narrative and in the fundamentals that uranium is a commodity not impacted by recession or economic slowdown, it's in fact recession-proof. Why? Utilities need uranium, whether it rains or shines, whether you have a growing economy or a slowing economy, because that's the only way you keep the lights on is when the nuclear power plants run. So you got a very robust demand profile for uranium. We don't mine any of it in the US, and there's growing global demand. And the uranium prices are only at $47 per pound and need to be probably north of $100 a pound before there's real incentive levels to see mine development. And so it's a really fundamentally sound setup. And in that context, UEC, our company, and the transaction we did to acquire Uranium One from the Russian government when we did, and the timing of it all, I think has created a very unique company. I think Uranium Energy is a truly unique American company, a truly unique American energy story. Unlike anything out there, Sean, when you think about the geopolitical implications of what we've done, how critical uranium is to U.S. national security moving forward, how we're doing something about it as a company, and how we've been on this mission for 18 years. You've interviewed me many times over the last 18 years of my entrepreneurial journey, building this company from the ground up, brick by brick. And you've heard me talk about this issue for so many years that, guys, how could the U.S. be so dependent on foreign uranium? We're the world's biggest consumer of uranium. We can mine this stuff domestically. The U.S. used to be, in the 70s and 80s, the world's largest uranium producer globally, and really seeded a lot of these leadership positions, as it did in manufacturing, as it did in so many things, as it did in oil and gas. And guess what? We had the oil and gas rebirth and the shale gas revolution that made the U.S. into a powerhouse when it comes to oil and gas production. And I believe you're going to see the U.S. become a powerhouse when it comes to uranium production in the years to come. And Uranium Energy Corp, UEC, is leading the charge for that. And we are today the largest U.S. uranium company by total resources, permitted production capacity, permitted projects, and or market cap.
Did you say earlier that 20% of our energy in the United States comes from nuclear?
Nuclear, correct.
20%,
that's right.
That's insane. Okay. Most people don't realize that.
No, exactly. That's right. Most people don't. That's a lot.
How much of our supply now is domestic?
Zero. Well, there are no mines operating right now.
Well, then help me understand what that means for your company, Uranium Energy Corp.
It means a humongous opportunity. It means the ability to go from zero production in the country. And look, we're going to need a higher uranium price than the current $47 environment. That's not, we're not producing yet. But in a uranium price environment north of, let's say, $60 per pound, we can restart the mines that we bought from the Russians and our own existing mines in South Texas. But the uranium price is still below those incentive levels to see production get ramped up in the U.S. But the opportunity is in having a first mover advantage, having the infrastructure, the plants, the projects, the deposits, the people to have the first mover advantage to grab market share as the sector comes back on the back of a rising uranium price. The US government just came out 2 weeks ago issuing a tender to buy 1 million pounds of uranium. In my 18 years in the business, we've never seen the US government be buying uranium. Why are they buying uranium? They want to establish a national uranium reserve, almost like a strategic stockpile, because they see the writing on the wall. They see this is becoming a strategic issue. Uranium is no different than other critical minerals that the US is short of. And so we have an environment where we can be a supplier of uranium to the US government, to the Department of Energy, to the Department of Defense, all of whom are going to be buying uranium. Department of Energy, like I said, is out in the market right now looking to purchase uranium from US companies. And the fact that our projects are the most advanced, most production ready, positions us to, again, for that first mover advantage.
Okay, well, here's my other thought, and I don't like this buzzword, ESG governance, corporate governance, guys. That stands for environmental, social, and corporate governance. And to me, that's just UN Agenda 21 stuff, Agenda 2030 stuff, like curb your carbon emissions, innovate to zero, all of this stuff, which I think is very anti-human and anti-energy sovereignty. But ESG is a buzzword now globally, and I think it's creating a demand for nuclear. So I guess my question is, if nuclear is being adopted globally, that means the demand for Russian uranium is only going to soar more, and we need to start getting the stuff domestically. Am I making sense here?
Except most Western utilities, you are making sense, perfect sense. But if you're a Western utility or consumer of uranium, you're really nervous right now about depending on Russia for anything, because you see what's going on with gas. You see what's going on with how they leverage their energy resources to drive a very hostile foreign policy agenda. And so there is going to be a bifurcated market here, Sean, for uranium. There's going to be a Western market, a market where Western utilities need to think about risk and supply chains. And if you're a utility in Charlotte, North Carolina, do you want your uranium to be coming from Central Asia that's landlocked between China and Russia versus Texas or Wyoming? These are the big questions. It's about supply chains, and it's about, can I rely on my supply chains for the primary fuel that I need moving forward? The Western utilities in Europe are thinking this. If they're thinking this, the Americans are going to be thinking this right here at home. We're going to be thinking about that. And you don't even need to be a Western utility to be thinking about that. Even China is thinking about diversifying the sources of uranium that it needs to secure to make sure that China's very ambitious plans to take over the world when it comes to nuclear capacity, which is what they're on track to do, they got to make sure they got the uranium for that, because they don't have any domestic uranium mines in China. And so they have to also adopt and are executing a very aggressive global strategy to go find uranium mines in Africa, to buy it in the spot market, to contract on a long-term basis. And so that's the environment for uranium demand. And today, I think the world has come to realize you can't depend on Russia. Russia is not reliable. And if you depend too much on Russia, you're basically becoming a financier of Putin's war. And if whether it's this war or other wars he may decide to start in the future, and this is not a way to move forward. Call it ESG, call it whatever you want. It's just called having a moral compass. And it's immoral today to keep financing Putin's war machine by relying on Russian energy.
If the calls started coming immediately tomorrow from the Department of Energy or whoever makes these decisions, how much of the Russian supply could you supplant? How much could UEC produce? How much uranium? You guys have the permits in place. You have the commodity. How much could you provide?
We got the plants and we got the permits between installed capacity and licensed capacity. We're looking at 6.5 million pounds per year right now. US demand is about 50 million pounds per year. So there's a lot of demand to build up here. We are working towards doubling our licensed and installed capacity. That'll take a number of years. That's part of the investment we're going to be making in the business. But ultimately, We want to be the largest supplier of domestically mined uranium, and we can supply the U.S. government or U.S. utilities. To get the ball rolling, we've already purchased, when the uranium prices were lower, at an average cost of $38 per pound, we've already contracted to purchase 5 million pounds of uranium. At today's almost $50 uranium price, that's about $250 million of contracted uranium at $38. So even right now, we have a gain of $10 per pound between our costs for how we bought physical uranium and stored it right here in the US on US soil versus what the uranium market is and what the expectation of a uranium market at $100 per pound plus is. So we're looking at different ways we can supply uranium to customers from our existing inventory on hand, coupled with our production capacity that's licensed that can get up to 6.5 million pounds per year. But we're looking at also growing that. And really, even when you look at our company today, 20% of our market cap is backed by cash and liquid assets. We have about $180 million of cash and liquid assets on our balance sheet, zero debt. And so you have a company that is, again, not only able to supply uranium reliably as a U.S. source, but also is financially very sound, but as an investment value proposition, very attractive, because there aren't five other companies like us. We are the only U.S.-only focused, U.S.-listed uranium company with as much uranium in the ground, with as much uranium contracted for or already in inventory. At our size and liquidity, being New York Stock Exchange listed, these are very unique attributes about our company. You know, unlike oil and gas players, where there may be 100 mid-sized explorers and producers, E&P companies, medium-sized, large-sized, uranium is a very small sector. And that's where you have to kind of keep perspective. This is a very important commodity for energy and national security, but a very small group of companies that actually have the wherewithal, the permits, the infrastructure, the people to produce uranium and supply it reliably.
All right, let me do a screen share here, guys. This is a stock chart you want to see, especially if you own the company or own shares in the company. Now, Amir, when I used to have you on back in the day, I mean, this was not really a popular topic. And now we've got this energy crisis happening. And now people are talking about energy. Energy is life. Uranium is important. Nuclear energy is life, at least 20% of our life in this country. So congratulations on building out here a billion-dollar plus company. And I guess that leads me to shareholders. I know there's some heavy hitters that are invested in UEC. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? There's very smart money involved in this company.
Well, first of all, management has skin in the game, including myself. I'm a top five largest shareholder of the company. I've been there since the beginning, since founding the company. So you have, as shareholders, a really perfect alignment with management and founders that have been at it from day one. 18 years plus now. And so it's been a long journey, and there's been just incredible amount of commitment to our thesis, our business plan, and executing it. As a result, we've attracted the largest institutional investors in the United States and in the world, the likes of BlackRock, the likes of Fidelity, Vanguard, the more mining focused resource investors like Sprott and or Extract Capital, the more sort of mining and energy focused entities. But more than ever, we're also attracting investors and institutional investors with a mandate towards green energy. And when they look at uranium, they say, this is green energy because it's emission-free electricity. That's what uranium is used for. It is the fuel for 100% emission-free electricity. And that is not only energy for life, but it's emission-free energy for life. And for that reason, I think you see incredible roster of institutional investors. You see also a very large base of individual investors. And that's part of the reason as well. I think you see the company is well followed, has strong daily turnover and volume. And this is not an overnight situation. This is many years in the making. And when the sector was hated, when it was out of favor, we had a very contrarian view. I would come on your show and I would say that, look, this is the most hated sector. It's totally out of favor. But we really believe that the type of energy that nuclear power can generate in the future, base load, emission-free, low cost, is going to be in demand. And look, we didn't predict exactly everything working out the way it did with war and conflict in the world and all the problems now, and that the whole global focus on decarbonization. We'll put all that aside. But we just felt that those attributes that nuclear energy had, low cost, baseload, emission-free, were going to prevail one day. And even when the sector was totally hated out of favor, you showed it on the chart when the stock was just, you know, flat, there would be little performance, but it was very contrarian to be in the sector. We were in it, believed in it, executed, bought assets at really attractive valuations because no one wanted them. And so the company was assembled through our own ability to explore for uranium, but also an ability to buy proven projects, proven deposits that had already been worked on when it was completely out of favor. So you're buying things for 10 cents on the dollar. You know, you're the whole analogy that you buy your Christmas decoration in January instead of December. And so that attitude, that mentality is what we apply to building the company. And that's why today it's in such a unique position. You couldn't replicate what we've done. There aren't any deposits for sale out there today that you can just go and buy and assemble the almost 35 uranium projects that we own across multiple states, very, very diversified, especially in energy-friendly, business-friendly states like Texas and Wyoming.
Yeah, it was a topic out of favor for so very long. And I know that you've weathered the storm. And like I said, this is a perfect storm. The Great Awakening is upon us. People are starting to understand that energy is life. And these elite groups that want to end our access to affordable forms of energy are truly anti-human. The strategy that they're trying to implement or force on nation states is truly anti-human. Sort of the last topic, you can comment or not. I'll just mention this for the audience. Five analysts offering 12-month price forecasts for UEC have a median target of $6.60 with a high estimate of $7.10 and a low of $5. And the stock is currently at $4. So doesn't seem to be a lot of downside here, Amir. Do you pay attention to those analysts, those price targets?
Yeah, I think we're aware of them. And to your point, I believe out of the five analysts, they all have basically implied targets or ratings that are that imply a buy or imply the stock has room to the upside. Of course, analysts, these are independent analysts at investment banks or firms that provide research to the sector. And but look, I think you also got to look at, we already covered it, but you got to look at the shareholders, right? Because those are the owners of the company, right? And the owners that we've assembled in UEC today are a great stamp of approval. It validates what we're doing. The people that we have, you look at the chairman of our company, Spencer Abraham, who's a former U.S. Energy Secretary, Scott Melby, my executive VP, who's got 37 years in the uranium business. When the U.S. Senate wanted an expert testimony on U.S. uranium mining, Scott gave that testimony just a couple of months ago. You can watch the video of his testimony to the U.S. Senate on our website. Go to uraniumenergy.com. And so it's people that you can't find it. I mean, we've got over 800 years of combined experience in the uranium industry, 800 years. This is a sector that's been dormant for the last 10 years. It hasn't replenished this human capital. So yes, we've got great noteworthy shareholders and great analysts that cover the company and think highly of it. But the human capital that we have at Uranium Energy, the people, the board members, the chairman, the team that runs the day-to-day, are a really key competitive advantage because there's a shortage of people. Not only are we in one of the tightest labor markets for all sectors and everything, but a highly specialized commodity like uranium is even harder to find the right people and labor for. And we have that in spades at UEC.
Yeah, I'll just direct people here to the website. If you guys want to learn more, do your own due diligence. But for those of you who followed me for any period of time, you're familiar with this company and Amir. The website is uraniumenergy.com. UEC is the ticker. And our guest has been the CEO and president of UEC, Amir Adnani. Amir, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate you. And good luck. Good luck helping us take our energy sovereignty back as a nation. We need it. We need all the help we can get.
I'm on it, Sean. Thanks for having me back. And look forward to next time I talk, get a chance to connect with you again.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir, and God bless. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. A special thanks to our subscribe stars and those of you signed up at sgtreport.tv. We've got that server beyond the reach of Big Brother. And for real news every single day, guys, visit us for free at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
A lot of these reporters, a lot of these on-air news people are cowards. It's a cowardly business at this point because they catch wind of, you know, something might be off. That's when they're supposed to go investigate, ask questions. But these anchors who get the most airtime actually do zero research. Their job is only to read a script.